Chapter 6, Practice Makes Perfect. Penelope rummaged around in her robe's giant pocket for a moment before pulling something out that resembled a brick of silly putty. With a flick of her wrist, she tossed it toward the space between the second and third hoop. The silly putty brick stuck in midair before it popped. Nala clamped her hands over her ears and gasped, "Wow!" The brick disappeared, replacing itself with a curtain of silky, gray gossamer. Nala's jaw dropped. "Whoa," Chance announced. He moved forward to examine the shimmering shower curtain. Or, at least that's what it looked like to Nala.
"Don't touch it,"
Penelope waved Chance back.
"It is a blockade of sorts. It'll stop either of you from moving past the second hoop."
Nala arched an eyebrow.
"So it's a wall?"
"Of sorts," Penelope agreed. "If you lose control of your jump, it'll catch you. It's sticky. Rather like being stuck to old bubblegum."
"Yuck!"
Chance pulled a face. Nala shot him a look and he shrugged.
"What?
Have you ever stepped in old gum? It takes like months to get it off the bottom of your shoe, but this will be like all over us." Nala shook her head. Chance had a point. But Penelope laughed.
"Only if you miss your jump."
Chance looked at Penelope.
"Yeah.
And I just bet that my chances of missing are pretty good." Penelope winked at him. "That's why we'll let Nala go first."
"Oh," Nala grimaced. "And I thought it was because you liked me best."
The two of them laughed as Nala bit her lip.
"Okay, Nala," Penelope said. "When the ground starts nipping at your shoes, watch for the bright red light. When you see it, let go of your spec tray."
Penelope pulled out her parchment and pen again, and she passed Chance a watch.
"You time her, please. Start the moment she vanishes
until she reappears."
"You've got it," Chance agreed, taking the watch in his hand. He grinned crookedly at Nala.
"Whenever you're ready, just grab the spec tray," Penelope smiled.
Nala took a deep breath. She knew it was meant to be encouraging, Penelope's smile, but right now, she'd rather wrestle an alligator.
Licking her two dry lips, she took a deep breath and tried to force thoughts of splicing and sticky gum out of her mind. Her hand trembled as she lifted it, as she closed her eyes, as she wrapped her fingers around the crude practice spec tray. The ground felt spongy underfoot, and her eyes flew open as the red light flared. Her feet sank into the grass, sinking deeper until the grass tickled her above the knees. She dropped the pendant, then she fell. Nala gasped as the air swooshed at her. The light slipped to the left, and she couldn't stop but reach her arm toward it. Sharp pain sliced into her left forearm, and she cried out, "Ouch!" She looked down at the bloody cut raking across her arm. A large rip separated the pink fabric of her tunic. Sunlight bathed her again and she blinked up at Penelope, who loomed over her.
"Oh dear, you twisted in your travel, yes?"
Nala nodded, gritting her teeth against the searing in her arm as she sat up.
"Chance, fetch Pumpkin, quickly!"
Chance scurried away. Penelope ripped the tunic sleeve up to the shoulder with a quick yank.
"It's fine, Nala. You'll be fine."
"The red light was to my left. I reached for it because, ouch, I thought I had to move toward it," Nala explained.
Penelope nodded as Pumpkin charged up to her carpet bag in hand.
"Show me,"
she ordered. Nala obeyed. Pumpkin pulled out a violet-colored ointment and dabbed it on the cut. Penelope waved Chance closer. As the cut started knitting itself back together as soon as the ointment touched it,
Chance's eyes rounded.
Does it hurt?
Nala considered.
No, not now.
She shook her head. Nope, not since the medicine was put on it.
But before, yeah.
Ever cut yourself with scissors?
It was like that.
Ouch! Chance nodded in sympathy,
and he rubbed his forearm.
Pumpkin wrapped Nala's arm in a violet wrapping.
When traveling, you are always to stay straight. Perfectly straight.
Think about your runs with Pip and Pumpkin earlier.
Did you move either time? Penelope asked.
Nala and Chance shook their heads.
Well, I mean, we moved, spun and curlicued, but our bodies stayed straight, Nala answered.
Penelope nodded.
Time travels as it needs.
You're just along for the ride.
Perhaps I should have made that clear before allowing Nala to jump, and so I apologize.
No need to apologize, Nala said after thanking Pumpkin.
Welcome,
Pumpkin replied before snapping her bag shut and disappearing in a wisp of pink smoke.
Then, Chance, are you ready?
Yeah,
Chance said slowly, glancing down at Nala's arm.
Maybe. For once, I can do something better than Nala.
Nala snorted. You do. You're like a human dictionary when it comes to spelling. Who else would know how to spell xylophone in kindergarten?
Chance shrugged, stepping into the first hoop.
Nala scooted back and took the watch from Penelope. He trembled slightly as he shifted foot from foot inside the hoop.
Whenever you're ready, Chance.
Remember, drop the spectray the moment you see the red light.
Sure, Chance breathed. He twitched with nervousness.
He squeezed his eyes shut and his chubby fist closed around his practice spectray, and then he was gone.
Nala dropped her gaze to the watch. 15 seconds passed, and Chance reappeared with a flash of pink.
He flew through the air and smacked
wetly against the silly putty gum wall.
Yuck!
Chance yelled. He tried to wiggle against the wall, but tendrils of the sticky stuff just wrapped more tightly around him.
Nala giggled. She couldn't help it.
He looked like a human housefly stuck on flypaper.
It's not funny.
Sorry. Nala apologized, even though she didn't feel in the least bit sorry.
Nala, grab that spray can on the table by Scipio, Penelope instructed, making her way toward Chance.
Nala walked over and picked up the silver and red can.
This one?
Yes, it'll make Chance unsticky.
Great, Chance called, but stayed stuck. Spread eagle on the putty wall.
I tried to drop the spectray thing. I did. But I guess I didn't drop it fast enough.
I mean, that red light just blinked.
And then, boom, I was here.
Penelope took the can from Nala. When she approached and stepped up to start spritzing Chance, he screwed up his face as she sprayed his head.
It took several moments, but eventually the wall let go of Chance and he slid to the grass. He patted himself.
Ugh, I'm not too sticky anymore, I guess.
Nala snorted.
You should see your hair.
Why? Chance's hands flew up to his head. It's sticking out everywhere from under your hat.
Chance stuck his tongue out at Nala.
Penelope ignored them as she moved to the sticky wall out between the third and fourth hoops.
All things considered, though, Chance said, This is pretty awesome.
Nala agreed, stepping into the starting hoop again.
Just think, a few days ago, we were boring old normal seventh graders.
Yeah, Halloween is still my favorite holiday, for sure, Chance laughed.
And you were upset because we were going to miss the costume contest.
Huh, Nala huffed. She had been upset, and she had every right to be. Her fists flew to her hips, but Penelope passed Chance the timing watch. Whenever you're ready. But Nala? This time, at the fourth hoop, your exit hoop, you'll get a bit wet. But don't worry, it's normal.
Yes, Doctrix Penelope, Nala agreed, sucking in a breath. She wrapped her fingers around her spec tray. This time she was ready for the red light to blink in a random place, but she held her body rigid as she dropped the charm. Water drenched her, and then she found herself back in the center of the fourth hoop. Her clothes felt heavy, and her hat wilted down about her ears, but she wasn't hurt, even if her arrival had been slightly right off the center mark. A curtain of water roared around her, but she stepped through it anyway.
Marvelous! Penelope cried.
You look like a drow rat, Chance teased. Nala wiggled her eyebrows at him. And you are next.
Chance just felt it looking wounded as he passed the timing watch to Nala and stepped into the starting hoop.
Chance's trip ended with him shivering and dripping. He stepped on the hoop's rim as he exited. Water surged upward from under his feet, and he flew up in the air. He screamed, "Ah!" and he flapped his arms. His body arched for the edge of the fog just as a huge figure stepped into the Escipio's clearing.
"Percival!" Penelope gasped. The Dalmatian patterned dog man, who was nearly a foot taller than Penelope, caught Chance cleanly. He righted a very frightened Chance back on his feet.
"Are you all right, son?"
Chance's mouth gaped.
"Yeah," he managed. "Thanks."
"No problem. It isn't the first time, and I'm sure it won't be the last."
"Percival," Penelope said again, closing the short distance between them.
"I'm fine, Penelope," he assured her as he wrapped her in a hug. Percival's warm brown eyes settled on Nala.
"Two new Vangers, then. You've been busy."
Penelope nodded. Vanger Rigutli wasn't lucky.
Percival's face fell. "That's too bad."
He stepped over and stuck out a paw for Nala to shake. She took the proffered paw.
"I'm Nala, sir."
"Doctrix Percival," he introduced himself. He turned to Chance. "And the acrobat is?"
"Chance, sir."
His cheeks reddened even more. "Still getting the hang of all this time jumping stuff."
"Indeed. How long have you been here?"
3 days. "But this is our first day of time jumping," Nala explained. "We spent time learning the history and systems."
"Yeah, systems. Of Vangers before today."
"Good, good." Percival's eyes jerked to the right as Pipkin and Punkin arrived.
"And the nanny. How have you been?"
"Fantastic,"
Pipkin quipped.
"We only just finished supper for everyone."
"I'm starved." Percival wrapped an arm around Penelope's waist.
"My trip was fine, darling."
"I had no problems. The Sakari took out about 30 Umbra as I rerouted the package from the 45th century to the 32nd century.
Chance's mouth dropped open. Percival noticed and winked.
"Ah, but the future is not at all what people in the 21st are predicting.
I'll tell you all the whole adventure over supper."
Percival led Penelope off toward Escipio. Pumpkin followed him. Pipkin busied himself gathering the training hoops and removing the silly putty wall.
Chance turned to Nala.
"Wow, the 45th century. That's like the year 4400.
"I know. Wouldn't it be awesome to see?" Nala could almost feel his excitement radiating off him as he nodded.
"Sure.
But I don't get it. How is it all possible? How can time always move but sometimes stay still? How does it work?"
"No one has told us that,"
Pipkin answered before Nala could even open her mouth.
"Time, as you know, it is only one plane," Pipkin said, standing with hoops wrapping both arms.
Time is not singular at all.
Oh?
Chance looked bewildered.
It's an onion.
It's a what?
Nala asked. An onion,
Pipkin repeated. Have you ever peeled an onion? Both Nala and Chance nodded.
Well,
Pipkin continued, there are layers to onions.
Right,
Chance agreed, scratching his head.
Time for you is only where you are. But at the same time, all the other centuries are happening also.
Nala's brows knitted. But, what about the history and the future?
Pipkin inclined his head toward her. There are threads of time that interweave among every layer.
He must have noticed their confusion because he continued, like this.
He stood between Chance and Nala. I am here, and you are in front of me, he pointed to Nala. And Chance is behind me.
So therefore, Vanger Nala is my future, and Vanger Chance is my past.
But at the same time, I am my own present, and you are your own present. I am aware that you both exist, but you do not directly affect my time plane.
Understanding eased Nala's mind. Okay, so while we are going to school in the 21st century, there are kids in the 1st and the 91st century going to school also, at the same time?
Yes,
Pipkin said easily.
Whoa,
Chance said. What about deja vu, you know, and stuff like that?
Deja vu happens when there is a rift in someone's personal time plane.
It sometimes happens because they are tied to intemp in some way.
Huh?
Chance asked.
Pipkin smiled. Have you ever experienced deja vu or dreams where you are watching yourself doing something?
Sure, Chance nodded. Doesn't everyone?
No.
No, they don't, Pipkin corrected. It happens because of rifts originating from here.
What's happening is one part of you is passing another you.
So, like my 60-year-old self is scooting past my 12-year-old self somewhere, Chance asked.
Age is irrelevant because time is irrelevant, but for the sake of clarity, yes.
Nala's jaw went slack.
Wait, so people that do those things, deja vu, the dreams and stuff, are Vangers or will be Vangers?
Not all of them, Pipkin answered. Sometimes it is because they have encountered a time traveler, though they may not recognize that they are different.
Pipkin clarified as he started toward the cottage.
Come. Supper will get cold, and I'm sure Doctrix Penelope or Doctrix Percival would be better at explaining it to you.
Nala and Chance fell into step with his short, quick pace.
No, actually, I think I get it, Nala said.
Seriously?
Chance shot her a look.
Nala stuck her tongue out at him as a trio went in the kitchen door. Percival looked up at them as they settled in around the table. Pumpkin passed out china and glasses as she walked across the enormous table.
The pair of you look a bit confused, Penelope said, taking a proffered bowl from Pipkin as he passed it up.
Okay, so, Chance said, looking at her.
Time is like an onion, is it?
Percival laughed. That it is.
And apparently, we've been passing ourselves all our lives, Nala added.
Penelope turned a look on her.
Not necessarily. You may have just encountered a fellow Vanger.
Percival moved a paw out of the way of Pumpkin's clicking, high-heeled boots.
Pipkin joined Pumpkin on the tabletop and he started scooping out weird green, chunky jelly stuff on their plates that smelled like green peas.
Percival started explaining the onion thing again, and Nala stabbed the fork tines
into the cube of yellow that had the scent of lemon pepper chicken.